Anyone who knows me reasonably well knows that I love words. I love the English language. I love Greek when I still knew what I was doing in my Greek New Testament. I just love how they work and what they can do. And it actually drives me kind of crazy when some words change their meanings and I can't use them the way I want to anymore. The most trivial example, of course, is referring to knitting as unraveling. Because when something is pulled apart, it becomes raveled. It doesn't become unraveled, but people didn't know what to do with that. So now we have raveled and unraveled, meaning exactly the same thing. This is just, as I said, a trivial irritation for me. And when I get over, I don't try and convince people that they're wrong when they use unraveled. That's just the way it is. But words have power, and we need to pay attention to them. And if we can, sometimes we need to rehabilitate words, or at least bring them back into a better understanding for us and the people who are using them, if we can. Because raveling and unraveling doesn't really occur in Scripture in any meaningful sort of way, but religion does. There are very few people who will use the term religious to describe somebody in a positive light. Being religious now carries with it connotations of being narrow-minded, hypocritical, bigoted, prejudiced. All of these things are now part of the baggage that religious and religion now carry. Which makes me sad from a word standpoint, because that's not what it means, but I find it more troubling from the perspective of someone who is religious, that it's difficult for me, well, it's impossible for me to describe myself as religious unless I know somebody fairly well and know what they're going to bring along with that word. That's why we now hear people quite often speaking authentically that they aren't religious, they're spiritual. They're trying to get away from the notion that religion makes you into a particular kind of thing that is unattractive. Well, as I said, if this was a word that was just sort of out there and we didn't really need it, if it didn't appear in the Bible in some particularly useful ways, we could just live with that. But it does. And in our James reading, and we're only going to be looking at a very small part of it right at the end, we see the word religion. Pure religion, or true religion. That's where our sermon title comes from. Another question, religion or true religion? Because if we have the time to explain to somebody, not to say we are religious, but to say we're a particular kind of person, it's going to come across differently. And what James says is religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now there are some people who will look at this passage and interpret it extremely tightly and say, well, I'm not aware of any orphans or widows who are in distress, so I'm off the hook. And I won't have anything to do with the world, so I can't be polluted by the world. I'll just stay in my house. Okay, that's not what James is saying. He's not limiting it to orphans and widows. It's a symbol. And what he's saying, and what this verse can be retranslated as, if you wish, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to care for those who need care and to keep ourselves from taking on the views and values of the world and changing who we are. That's what James is getting at, and that's what true religion is. So if you were in a position to describe yourself, and you had enough time, and you wanted to avoid the word religious, and you described yourself something like this: I'm the kind of person who takes care of those who need care, whether it is taking them a meal, whether it's giving money. I use my skills and abilities to improve the lives of people around me, And I work really hard at being true to myself and who I truly am. No one is going to find that unattractive, will they? That's not the descriptors that come across with hypocrisy, prejudice, narrow-mindedness, any of those things. No, this is the kind of person that we all want to live next to. But that's what it means to be religious, according to the Bible. Now, we could, I suppose, mount some kind of an online campaign of some sort, or we could take ads in papers and make advertisements on television and radio, saying that this is what religion actually means. And this is what a religious person actually looks like. Except I still don't think it would work. People are kind of set in their ways. And the fact that the loss of the meanings of religious is personally distressing to me isn't enough for me to want to put in all the energy in trying to change the connotations of a word, because it's virtually impossible. So where does this leave us? Well, I'm sure many of you have formed the habit of not describing yourself as religious or avoiding the word religion just because it causes those kinds of problems. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes up, when you're talking to someone and the conversation naturally turns itself to religion, and what you hear in their voice is that disdain for the religious, it's hard not to be defensive, but try not to be, and instead ask why. Find out if it's a simple knee-jerk reaction to things they've read, or if they've actually been injured somehow by the church, by a person self-described, self-identified as religious. Because if someone's been hurt, those of us who practice true religion will try to bring healing and care. It's unlikely that you'll be able to fix whatever happened entirely, but you can be part of the process of rehabilitating that person, period, and then rehabilitating their view of someone who is religious. Instead of just defending the church or changing the subject, asking why. What happened that makes you feel this way? And if it's within your power to do anything to fix it, do it. And if it's not within your power, at least you can apologize. And you're not apologizing for yourself. It probably wasn't you. Quite likely wasn't your denomination, not your local congregation. But someone's been hurt by the forms of religion, but not the reality. We're called to make a difference. We're called to care for that person. And the side effect is that it rehabilitates, perhaps, their sense of a word. We're called to be the people that we are meant to be. And for those of us who have a relationship with God through Jesus, who are empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish those things that we've been created to do, have an opportunity to make a huge, huge difference in the lives of people around us. But sometimes it takes asking a couple of questions. Sometimes it means putting aside our defensiveness. It can be a bit of a challenge for me at work, where people don't know, they're new or they're visiting or whatever else. They don't know a whole lot about me. And every once in a while, I'll hear them talking about, usually religious people on television, and lumping everybody in with whatever they've seen lately that irritates them the most. And it's really hard for me to just wait and see what happens. The worst thing you can possibly do is then announce that you yourself are a preaching person, because you will then just cut off any possibility of conversation. but instead to listen and find out, is this a real thing for them? And to see if there's any way that you can begin the process of correcting their view of what makes a Christian person, but what makes a religious person. Not that we're perfect, because we most certainly are not. That's why we have a prayer of confession that we say together every Sunday. Not because it always fits you exactly. I'm sure we've had prayers of confession that didn't fit anyone in the details. But it's the reminder that we are not perfect people, that we need to come to God in confession. If we can take the time to talk to people that have problems, legitimate or otherwise, with organized religion, and say that's not how it's supposed to be, that we think it's terrible when positions of trust are abused in any way. That's not what it's about. What makes true religion is caring for the people who need care around you, and doing everything you can to not be tainted by the views and values of the world that are in opposition to the truths of God. These are not things that offend people. These are the things that make you fundamentally attractive. Because those who want to provide care to those around them are the people that we want to be around as well, even when we don't need care. Why do you think that people follow Jesus in the thousands? Oh, I'm sure some did because they were looking for a miracle, sort of like following a sideshow. But there was something about him that people knew he cared. People knew that they mattered to him. I'm sure all of you, at least I hope all of you, have some person in your past or in your present who just cares for people. And you know what that looks like. And people don't have to know them well. There's just something about them that you know they care. That's who we're called to be. Within who we are. We're not called to be like that person that you're thinking about. We're not called to dress like them or talk like them or anything else. We're called to have that quality of caring for people who need care in our own personalities, in everything that makes us us. God didn't put us where we are that we might do nothing. Rather, we are put where we are because we have things that only we can accomplish. Now, we have to be careful about that. God will accomplish what he needs to accomplish and desires to accomplish, period. And there are days, I will admit it, there are days when I wish he wouldn't trust me so much and he'd just do it. But he said, no, I'm working through people. I'm working through you. That's why the Holy Spirit is within us. That's why we have spiritual gifts, that we might minister to the world around us, that we might provide care to orphans, widows, and anyone that needs it. And when we do that, that is when we are practicing true religion. Talking about the shift of the definition of religion in some ways is almost a red herring. I honestly don't care what people think about the word religion. I don't care what people think about the word religious, except in that part of me that loves words. But it's sort of like letting your hobby take over your life if you're not careful. What I care about is that people who need help get help. That people who need someone to listen to them are listened to. That people who need a meal get a meal. Whatever it might be, whether it's a physical, tangible thing, or it's just the presence of a person, whatever it might be, that's what I want to see us do. And I'm sure we are. This is not a brand new message for you. When I chat before and after the service, I hear about the things that you're doing, reaching out and all the rest, to people that you know and to strangers alike. That's what makes us religious. Not the title. Sometimes the title gets in the way. But I was listening to something on the radio, on CBC, I think it might have been As It Happens, or one of those kinds of shows. And they're talking about on the day of September 11th, when the World Trade Center was attacked. And they were talking to a woman in Gander, who, they get planes that land there, but they don't get plane after plane after plane. I think they end up with 34 planes or something like that landing in Gander. And her first thought and her first action was to make up a tray of sandwiches and take it over. And she knew, once she got there, that yeah, there were 7,000 people in Gander that suddenly appeared, that they needed more than that. But her first thought was, here are people, because at first she didn't even know what was going on, and then she found out what was going on in New York and thought, these are people who are going to be concerned, they're going to be worried, and they probably won't even think to eat. That is someone practicing true religion. We can all do these things. We don't very often have, well, I don't know how many people live in Gander, but I'm thinking 7,000 is probably a considerable percentage of the town depend on it. I'm not expecting 45,000 people to suddenly show up in Moose Jaw or Regina. But what if one person? What if in your travels from your house to the supermarket and back, what if in part of that you have an opportunity to be kind to someone? To be more than just perfunctory in your gratitude to whoever helps you at the store. To make eye contact and smile and say, thank you, I really appreciate what you do. That is true religion. It's not always dramatic. It's not always miraculous. But it comes from who we are. We have been placed here, this time, that we might do what we've been created to do. And that happens every day. One of the worst things that I think anyone can do is spend their whole life waiting for that moment. That moment is now. That moment is always now. The opportunity to make a difference, to care for someone, to demonstrate that your relationship with God through Jesus has made you into a person who cares, is always there. So whether you choose to describe yourself as religious or not, well, that really doesn't matter. You can use it as a conversation starter. You can describe yourself any way you want. But we want to be the kind of people who care for those who need care and to do everything we can to keep the views and values of the world from destroying who we are. That's true religion. It's something we can do every day, and it's something we're called to do. I know we do it. This is just a reminder of how important it is. Amen.